The Gates of Horn and Ivory, by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 2. Charming Dionysus. Good morning, Princess. Dionysus entered the room, surrounded, as always, by a large posse of obviously impaired maenads and satyrs. He never went anywhere without them, and sometimes Persephone wondered if he'd ever been alone. Huge Etruscan amphorae filled with wine had been brought to the room for his visit, a welcome escape from the white-on-white decor, even though the god himself barely partook, since he drank nectar like the rest of them, to restore his beauty and youth. Persephone admired his graceful demeanor as he approached her, a vaguely androgynous countenance, with long flowing hair, braided with wild vines, a beautiful figure who looked deceptively young, his gait as light and carefree as the spirit which shone, childlike, in his eyes. He smiled at the goddess, who was close kin, and with whom he shared the gift of walking between worlds. How did he keep so fit? Persephone couldn't help but be amazed, when he was constantly engaged in this self-indulgent lifestyle. It obviously took its toll on his entourage, the satyrs who, she assumed, had never experienced sobriety, and the maenads who roamed the forests drunk and out of control, acquiring the strength and ferocity of wild beasts from the substances they consumed. Despite their abandoning all restraint, they all looked young and pretty, and she assumed Dionysus's disciples replaced them with fresh stock as soon as they started to turn ripe. You're a sight for sore eyes. More resplendent than ever, the latter took her hands in his in an effusive gesture of welcome, which Persephone knew was genuine, and this was the reason her encounters with Dionysus always warmed her heart. She was very fond of the god of wine. Did you do something different with your hair? It looks amazing. He continued schmoozing. What are you using for shine? A rosemary water rinse, as always, cousin, she giggled, pleased, and returned the compliment. It's not nearly as shiny as yours. You haven't changed a bit. He looked down, rubbing the back of his neck, embarrassed by the compliment, which he parried with a chuckle. Someone always spills something on me, that's probably what. Have you had enough time to recuperate after your journey? I hear the field trip was eventful. Yes, thank you for asking. She made a slight hand gesture to a nymph, who jumped immediately, filled a large silver jug with wine and brought it, together with matching cups and a bowl of fruit, to the table. Please, sit, she smiled at her beautiful kin. Share a cup of wine with me. Dionysus jumped in a chair, where he made himself comfortable, lounging with his feet up on one of its armrests, before perusing the fruit offering, excited. Praise the gods! Pomegranates! Oh, I missed pomegranates. Where did you get pomegranates in spring, cousin? It's good to be the goddess of the underworld, it seems. Speaking of, how is Hades? Busy, thank you for asking, she smiled back at him, grateful for the inquiry. He was the first person she had talked to since she emerged from her winter habitation to ask about her life and her beloved. Not a dull moment, as you recall. Dionysus was wise and insightful, qualities he liked to keep cloaked under a childish, carefree demeanor, while he pretended to live for the moment in perpetual merriment. He had finished his pomegranate and was now holding the cup of wine in one hand, sipping its enlivening spirit with connoisseur nods, while his other hand twirled the caduceus. Five maenads left the satyrs, who were enthusiastically sampling the various wine varieties in the large amphorae surrounding the room's perimeter, and were now curled up at his feet, like cats, addicted to his presence. On rare occasions, he allowed the mask to slip just a smidge, to let the dark abysses in his eyes show. One could fall into them forever and not find a bottom. That's what everybody went to find when they joined his practices, leaving behind all reason and propriety for just a glimpse of that closely guarded truth. He was the master of emotions, playing the feelings of the crowd like so many instruments, offering insight in the process, and sometimes desolation, all according to his whims and interests, and moving on to the next exciting endeavor with indifferent ease. So, what brings you here, my dear? Persephone smiled, relaxed by his indulgent demeanor and the fire of the libation. Work. He groaned, irked they had to return to such unpleasant subjects. One had to assume even a bacchanalia felt like work when it was mandatory. He sighed. The Dionysia is coming up. We need to go over the head counts, as they may be unsold after the festivities. He put the cup down, suddenly serious. How many can you spare, cousin? How many do you need? Persephone asked, matter of fact. I was thinking maybe 2,000, he started the bid. 2,000, she gasped, shocked. What kind of party are you planning? Hey, I'm that good, he joked, then saw Persephone roll her eyes and continued, serious. There's been a war in Chios. We need to replenish the supply. She closed her eyes and quickly went over availability, making a mental list of souls she was happy to reassign. The wailing on the banks of the Acheron was becoming a nuisance. She was especially eager to re-up the unfortunate souls from the Fields of Mourning, those fools who died for love, which she hoped would fall onto a better fate this time, although she had to assume, considering the enduring aspects of the human psyche, that many of them would end up thickening the crowds of Dionysus's Maenads, or find some other reflected light to fire their purpose. Am I boring you? The latter brought her out of her reverie, annoyed. Quite the opposite. I was making a list. Yes, I can spare as many as you need. This place is going to be very crowded, no? Let me worry about that. Artemis, oh, please tell me Artemis isn't itching to start another war, Persephone thought, but said nothing. Only the crease between her eyebrows betrayed her disapproval. We all have our dominions, Dionysus argued. That's what she does. Do you think she's going to let things lie still? Her offerings would dwindle. Persephone looked at him, saw the innocent conviction in his eyes, remembered Iphigenia's tragedy, and abandoned the fight. Oh, never mind. So, 2,000 you said, that's settled then. Thank you, cousin, I knew I could count on you. As always, he bent gallantly and kissed her hand, settling into the chair and trying to figure out how to approach the main topic. There is the unpleasant subject of Orpheus. Persephone instantly stiffened in outrage, while the god of wine was still holding her hand, trying to appease her. Please don't get angry at me, the beast needs feeding, he pointed to his followers, who were now completely under the power of the wine, unable to keep their balance. Those poor people, Persephone remembered Orpheus and Eurydice's plight. And on their wedding day, no less. And as if the tragic bard's misfortune was not horrible enough, her cousin's drunken hellcats had to rip him apart in one of their psychotic rages. Why he was carrying on with these unfortunates, who could barely pass for human, was beyond her comprehension. Wouldn't it be more beneficial to the world if the beast fed on itself instead of destroying the lives of valuable artists and their innocent brides? She crushed the bitterness of the reminder humans so could not control themselves, said valuable artist had to mess up the underworld release she'd spent months cajoling Hades to arrange. All the idiot had to do was wait a few more minutes. Wasted effort, humans were. Wasted effort, living or dead. I pray he and his beloved find favor with you forever, mistress. Your kindness and mercy are well known and celebrated in all the realms of reality, he continued. Not going to work on me this time, Dionysus. This is outrageous. Those little, she glared at the Maenads at his feet, in disgust, until she encountered the vacant stare of one of them and realized it would have been just as reasonable for her to get angry with a storm. She turned her ire on Dionysus. I blame you, you know. You control this posse, or whatever you want to call it. Command them. Do I look like the commanding kind to you, my princess? He smiled at her, disarming, and his childlike charm returned, making it impossible for anyone to stay angry with him for long. I'm sure they'll be happier in your realm. No one is happier in my realm. Haven't you been listening to my mother? She'll give you an earful. You are, he looked straight into her eyes, and his insistent gaze brought back happy memories of Hades, and her gardens, and the beautiful islands of the blessed. I'll ask Hades if we can grant them passage to the islands, but I'm not promising anything. After that monumental flop of a failed endeavor, he sat me down and lectured me about the predictability of human nature and the foolishness of trying to upend its laws. He's very upset about this. So you know, I don't think a second favor is in the cards. You may get lucky because Orpheus was a peerless talent and a devoted follower of the tonic gods. As am I, my queen. Dionysus kissed her hand again. As am I. I'll hold you in my debt for this, Dionysus, she morosely relented. Any favor you ask, the latter jumped, visibly relieved. You name it, it's yours. He refilled her cup and offered it to her, smiling. I'm not one of your maenads, cousin. It will take a lot more than a cup of wine to appease me. I am forever in your debt. He smiled, secretly pleased to watch her drink the wine he had offered, and planning on how to curry a few more favors before Persephone reached her outrage limit.